that the theme of my Sunday school lesson. Yes, Richard.
I just wanted to speak with you for something.
Oh, okay. All right. It's ironic that the theme of my Sunday school lesson is time. Time. I'm thinking of it in light of the time that I've taken here in the Sunday school. Scripture contains much on the subject of time. Many references have to do with historical dates, and as such, those historical dates that are in the Bible establish biblical events as part of history. Now, there's some events that happened in the Bible that archaeologists and students of the Scripture are still trying to slot into the known history of the world. But that's not unique to the Bible. There are people referred to, for example, in Egypt, that the Egyptians cannot slot into the rest of history. Okay, it just happens. But in addition to such historical references, there are many which teach us the importance of time. And they teach how to use time. And the use of time can reveal our priority and attitudes of life. You see, two people may have the same actions, activities, the same work to do, but each of those two people's priorities and attitudes can make a difference in how they use the time. Let me begin by dealing with time as God's gift to every person. Every one of us has the same amount of time daily. What do we have? 24 hours. Now, surely some people have more things to do in their 24 hours than another person. But to hear some talk, they only have 21 hours in their day because, you know, they lament with what they're not getting done. Oh, I understand that lament. Psalm, the book of Psalms, Psalm 90 and verse 12. The psalmist says, and this is listed as a prayer of Moses. Okay, Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We are told to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And that is so, so necessary. Then in the same book of Psalm 39 and verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? Make me to know mine end, to measure my days, not just to go through it, but to evaluate the needs of it. One has said, time furnishes the occasion which forms the opportunities of life. That sounds good. I'm not quite sure I understand it, but time furnishes the occasions, the events, the happenings. Here we go. We start the day, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever time you start, 10 o'clock. I'm retired. Okay? And so whatever time, I don't start my day at 10, all right? But whatever time you start your day, the events that you experience, they form opportunities for life. The clock should not be our master. Oh, man. When I wrote that down, let me tell you. You talk about, you know, preacher, preaching, you know, there's three coming back, four if you count the thumb, okay? And so it hits me harder than it hits you and all that. Sounds good, doesn't it? Bunch of bull. But the clock should not be one's master. Now, I think I've told you already. Let me do a quick calculation. We have 18 clocks in our house. Excuse me, 19, just thought of another one. I'm obsessed, obviously, with one. I mean, that doesn't count watches. Or my cell phone. Okay. Obviously, I'm obsessed with knowing what time it is. So when I wrote down, the clock should not be one's master, I really should have used whiteout. However, what we need to do is master time. Okay, we need to master time. Now, I could try and wax eloquent and say I have that many clocks so that I'm certain that I'm using my time wisely and that I don't waste time by not realizing what time it is so that I can, baloney. Now, listen, there are some practical ideas and tips that can help. For example, making a list of what needs to be done during a week. And then, for each day, taking from that list and any others that you think of, make a list for that day. Here are the 3, 4, 5 things that I need to do today. Now, there may be other things that one does, but the idea is that I have goals for this day. And writing it down is more effective than just having it up here in the mind, because your mind can play some pretty good tricks, okay? And it can come up with some pretty good gymnastic ways of getting around what's on that mental list. Write it down. Put it where it needs to be, okay? Might tape it on the dash of your car. If you work in an office setting, tape it wherever in that office setting. Whatever, wherever. But the idea is have a list of what needs to be done so you can use your time wisely. I looked for some statements regarding time, and one fellow wrote, "We always find time to do the things we really believe are important." You know that's true? We find time. We'll make time to do what we want to, whether we believe it's important or we just want to do it. We'll find time for it. What you put off today, you probably will put off tomorrow. Now, I understand some things you put off today, there is such a demand of it in your life that you finally get to the point where you have to do it. So you see, you're not in control of the time. There are things that, I learned this, and I'm going to say this, and I may end up repeating again, but years ago, I was taught in the use of time to distinguish between the urgent and the important. You see, not everything that comes along that demands urgent attention is important. And it's not easy. When I was taught that, I knew it was true. I respected the instructor. I knew it was true. I could immediately apply it to some situations in my life, But let me tell you, there's a fine line sometimes when something comes along that's urgent. And it's not in my DNA to tell somebody, well, I tell you what, let's wait on that. I'll get to that in 3 days. Why, you know, they came with an urgent need. And what's expected is that I would drop everything and take care of that need. They just can't do that. I'm thinking of John Mark here. He works in construction. If every urgent thing that were to come along to him and he dropped what he was doing, he wouldn't get rehired by that person because their job is important. And he contracted for that job, and therefore, distinguishing between the urgent and the important can be vital to his business. And as I said, it's not always easy to distinguish between the urgent and the important. At least it's not for me. Some people don't seem to have as much trouble as others. But in Ephesians 5:16, we're told redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do you redeem time? When I get a bottle of bags and cans, I take them about 8 blocks from my home to a redemption center, and I redeem them. In other words, I give the cans, and the man gives me money, all right? And so I've redeemed them. My soul has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. I give him my sins. He gives me his forgiveness. And he paid the price with his blood on the cross. Now, redeeming the time is, here's the time I have, and I redeem it by what I give or get out of that time, what I'm able to achieve and buy, if you please, with that time. Redeeming the time, and we're speaking here in a spiritual setting because the days are evil. And because that's true, we need to redeem the time. Use it wisely. How important it is, the job that you hold. And you know, it's common that we think of we work to earn money to pay bills. That's true. But as a Christian, there is something else that happens. While we're using the time to work, we get to demonstrate how a Christian acts and how a Christian reacts. If we think of our job as only to get money to pay bills, that's a necessity. But if we think of our job as only to get money to pay bills, we are becoming materialistically focused. But when we add to that, because it's necessary to earn money to pay bills, when we add to that, through this job, I can demonstrate Jesus Christ. And so when something goes wrong, I don't blow up. I don't cuss. I don't stomp. Okay? We learn, and you see, my helping my son to not stomp back the hallway has helped him, that and many other things, has helped him in the job that he has. And I don't have the time to describe and illustrate that for you, but just trust me, it has. And so we need to use our time accordingly. Shakespeare said, I have wasted time, and now time doth waste me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the whole chapter. There is a time for love. There is a time for hate. There is a time for war. There is a time for... You remember that chapter, okay? The whole thing. There are some verses there that are particularly beneficial. And that's a passage, verse 18 to 22, that talks about the difference between a man and beast. Now, when you first read it, it's going to look like man and beast are the same. But when you read through what the end of man and beast is, man's spirit goes up, but the spirit of the beast goes down. Okay? No, just to the ground, and that's it. And so this whole idea that some dumb people have, that, well, when you die, you just go on the ground like an animal, and that's it. Nope. You read Ecclesiastes, the end of chapter 3, and you'll see our spirit goes up. Okay, there we go. That's the end of it.
Time's up.
Time's up. Yeah, that's good. Time's up. Father, thank you for the day. In Jesus' name, amen.